wise person. A wise person is a person who will be blessed. And he will be blessed certainly in the latter end. And he will bring back a harvest from having sowed things that were right and good and true. And certainly the pathway of a fool will come back against him. And it will bring sorrow and misery and loss. So we want to be wise people. And we have some powerful yet practical instructions given to us in this book. And chapter 27, verse 1, as we mentioned this morning, a great, great principle that we ought to apply every day of our life. The Bible says, Proverbs 27, 1, boast not thyself for or of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So I have titles I mentioned this morning, What a Day. What a Day. As I mentioned this morning, I have heard that expressed in a delightful, positive way. What a day. And perhaps you can look back in the recesses of your memory and think about special days. What a day. What a day. And I remember going back in my childhood of having some special days. And when we spent time in Yellowstone National Park, and Philip and I caught a mess of fish, not knowing what we're doing, but caught them anyway. We ran and got back to the car before the bears got us. And listen, we watched as the black-tailed deer, they have black-tailed deer up there, they came running through the camp. And listen, they realized they were in the wrong place and they went every direction and they were jumping picnic tables and I was sitting out there watching. Thought of good stampede. And we watched that night as the grizzly bears tore up the brand new bear-proof trash cans. Didn't last one night. They beat them to a pulp. Finally got the food out and they went back to the drawing board. And I remember laying down that night and I thought, wow, what a place. And what a day. I mean, we had a time. What a day. And listen, we've had many. And I remember on Valentine's evening 38 years ago when I courted Miss Rhonda on our first occasion together. Everything went well. I didn't spill anything on me or her. I didn't say anything stupid. Everything just went like it should have went. And we got through the night successful. I enjoyed her company. Went back that night. Wow, what a day. What a day. It was a good day. And so I'm sure in your mind you can think of many. And I remember the birth of all four of my children. I was in there. And saw every one of them born. And I thought, wow, what a day. What a day. I had watched. I had been through four Lamaze classes required. Could have taught the last one. And I was there for all four deliveries, and I could have delivered the last one. And I thought, why are we paying these people to do this stuff when I know exactly what to do? And Rhonda said, because something may not work according to plan. That's why. I honestly tried to get her to let us have Cassie at the house, but she wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. And I said, we can call 911 if things don't work out well. She said, not with my youngin', you ain't. We're going to the hospital. And so we've had some days like that we look back on, and I have many of them, and thank God for them, that are precious memories. And then I've had the other. And come home in the midst of sorrow, heartbreak, suffering, and you think, what a day. What a day. What a day. And had many of them here recently. My goodness, what a day. And so we know both sides of it, and we've learned something. We do not know what a day may bring forth. Right? And so those of us who live in the reality of God's Word and God's truth, we understand that there are significant days that God has planned. And so we read in our Bible, if you read in the New Testament, you'll hear something about the day of the Lord. You know what? God has some special days planned. The day of the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that there are signs and seasons that indicate the coming of that day, though no man knows exactly when. Many people have been foolish and tried in many ways to predict that day. They've always been proven wrong. But we know there is a day. There is coming a day. I don't know exactly what day it is, but I'm told in the New Testament that I am to be looking for Jesus any day. And to expect Him every day. And listen, that day will come. Peter reminds us that some people mocked at these truths. And he said they're willingly ignorant of those days that were predicted and prophesied, by the prophets, and they ignored them, laughed at them, mocked them, but those days did come. And the Bible said that men are ignorant of the great flood, the water that overcame the earth when Noah had preached for over 100 years that there was a day coming. And they mocked him and laughed at him concerning God's instruction to make ready and to build that ark of salvation. And yet, the day came. At some point, a drop of water hit one of those mockers on the forehead. And before long, listen, he was treading water over his head without a ray of hope. And God, the Bible said, shut them in. The Bible said in the last days there would come mockers. And here's what they cry. All things continue as they were since the days of our fathers. They believe through their unbelief that every day will just simply come along as it did the day previous. And that there will be no end. But the Bible tells us, listen, one day God will take the earth and fold it up like you would a garment. The Bible tells us there comes a day when these things shall be dissolved by a fervent heat. And the elements shall melt in the epistles of Peter. And so we know that there are days. But even despite those prophesied and specific days, the Bible teaches us here in this scripture that we are aware that life can change and change drastically on any given day. And so a wise person is to understand that. He is to look forward as he plans and proceeds in life with that understanding that all the best laid plans are subject to change and change drastically. And so, as he makes these plans, as he begins to forecast future events, he understands that that may be interrupted. And so this principle here, the Bible tells us to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This reminds us of the uncertainties of life, and also it causes us to reflect upon our inability to predict or prevent them. Right? There are things I could have never predicted. It was not in my mind at all. I had one recently. Actually, it's been a year ago. It's hard to believe. Over a year ago when I got a call from Jeremy. And he said, Daddy's gone. And that was so far into my mind, I translated that into his grandpa. Because I know his grandpa well. And matter of fact, Mr. Florence has been here way back. He came up and was with us here several years back. And I've known him since I was 15 years of age. Played football with his son. And ever since Philip was courting his daughter, he's treated me like a son. And always been a joy and delight to me. He's an awesome cook. I've ate many of his meals. And he lived by the lake. And we have spent a lot of time fishing, playing. He was the only one I let try to get me up on skis. That was quite a story. We should have videoed it for your entertainment value. You would have died. I was at least 300 pounds then. And he said, Mark, I'm sorry, the boat just doesn't seem to want to pull you up, so we're going to get you a running start. I want you to sit on the dock. Like to jerk every tooth out of my head when I come on. And he said, do not forget, because many beginners do. If you fall, let go of the rope. I remember what he said at about 20 feet. I was like a deep sea diving bass plug. I come at an angle. I hung on to that thing. And it took me forever to swim back to the top. I thought my lungs would burst before I ever got back to the top. He said, you didn't let go of the rope? I said, no, I didn't. He said, I could tell because the boat was going, whoop. And quite an experience. But I never would have dreamed. Jeremy had to explain. He said, Uncle Mark, I'm talking about your brother. I have never been so shocked in my life. Absolute state of shock. What a day. You and I, we come to reality in this book of wisdom that God is calling us to understand that there are days, there are changes on a given day that I could never predict or could not prevent. That I am subject to things that happen that I have no control over. Some of it I do. Right? Some of our tomorrows are because we didn't do right today. Right? Come on, we all face that some degree or another. But even when we have done right, there are many things that come to us in a positive or negative situation that we had no ability to prevent them or predict them. We give the weather people a hard, hard time, but they are just trying to predict something that is uncertain. And occasionally they blow it. I like it when they blow it. I really do. You know why? Because you ain't so smart after all. You ain't so smart after all. And I believe it helps them a little bit to have a little humility. But notice here, this proverb does not prohibit our planning for tomorrow. He didn't say that it was wrong for us to plan. He says it's wrong for us to boast. Planning for tomorrow actually is our duty. And there are many proverb principles we can look at tonight that talk about the wisdom of making proper plans. But we are not to boast about our tomorrows. And this is what is violated. Here is the wisdom that's being violated, is when a person boasts about that, when he takes a great measure of self-confidence, when he feels himself secured, when he takes a measure of rest, when he looks at it with great confidence that he will prevail, that he will be secure, that he will not be threatened because of what a day may bring or because of his tomorrow, then the Bible says here that he's violating a principle of wisdom. In other words, he's being foolish. The word boast here means to be clear or to shine. And so what the principle is that we are not to think that everything is clear and everything is bright and shiny in our forecast or our plans for tomorrow. They are subject to change. We are looking through a veil of uncertainty. And so it is not clear, nor is it bright upon tomorrow's expectations. That is being presumptuous. And being presumptuous is the wrong thing to build or base our life. We are not to base our life. We are not to secure our life. We are not to have confidence on our life based on probabilities. That's a gamble. And foolishness will risk everything on a gamble. And so we are called to consider that tomorrow, as we anticipate it, is a probability. But it's not a guarantee. Probability, but not a guarantee. And we are to make the distinction between probabilities and certainties. A wise person makes that distinction. I expect the sun to come up tomorrow. That is a strong probability. But it's not necessarily a certainty, right, for you and I. That normal routine may well be disturbed. It may be that I may not see the sun rise tomorrow. And the Bible says here, thou knowest not. Thou knowest not. And so we are not to boast. We are not to have a self-confidence. Listen, we are not to put all of our expectation and our hopes based upon something that we do not know for sure. And especially in light of the fact that God has given us certainties. There are certainties. And that is what God calls us by faith to build our life upon. We are to build our hopes. We are to build our life upon things that are certain. That is wise. That is a principle of wisdom. The certainties and uncertainties of tomorrow, they belong to God. God is the only one who knows exactly what will happen tomorrow. He's the only one. That's God's realm. And so we are not to presume upon God as if we know what only He knows. That is, we come to God. We make our request unto the Lord. We worship Him. We have committed our life into His safekeeping. And we are safe in Him. We have hope in Him. And so we put our trust in the Lord. We do not trust the realm of uncertainties that only God Himself knows. Now, in James 4:13, we have those powerful instructions. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we are going to such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. Now he's going to give us the instruction. What is the right attitude in planning? Here he says, now here's a person who's planning. He's got everything laid out. But there's something missing from all of his plans and purposes. He has not considered the will of God. And so James gives this instruction. Here is a powerful element that must go in conjunction with all of our plans. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such boasting is sin. And so he gives us instructions that in all of our plans that we're to make, and listen, planning is our duty, nothing wrong with that, but we must have the right attitude, the right spirit, the right understanding, that if we put it in the proper way, as a child of God, as a believer, as one who's trusted in the Lord, then we learn that before I do something, I need to make sure it's in the will of God. So, what do I do when I plan for the future? I don't leave God out of my plans. That's a foolish mistake. Right? Foolish mistake. I've seen people make it. Many people make it. I've seen people lose their marriages and their homes and families over it. Because situations come up, offer them great monetary gain, but they didn't stop to seek the will of God and pray and didn't ask nobody to pray. Hey, there's more money in it, I'm taking it. And it cost them. Cost them. I've heard people down through the years, I heard one family in Florida gave a testimony one time in a service that they had left and gone. Moved further upstate, and listen, spent about a year, came back like to lost everything, including their family, and gave the testimony that we pursued this thing, and we didn't seek God's will over it, and we went up there, and listen, God about took it all away from us, and we came back and got ourselves right with God and gotten His will. You see, and so you and I are to always seek the will of God in things that we do. Why? Because God knows tomorrow. And we depend upon God to lead us. We're following the shepherd. And the shepherd knows all our tomorrows, and so he will lead us today in the context of eternity. God not only knows your tomorrows, he knows your future. God knows when you're going to stand in his presence. Listen, God knows all those things in detail. And so it is foolish to disregard the sovereignty and the providence of God. Sovereignty means that God rules over everything. God can change anything he wants to change. Listen, God's running the program. God's Lord. He's greater than all things. He can change any circumstance he wants to change. And then also his providence, that is, God makes provision for us in light of our futures, in light of eternity. God has provided it all, the whole step of the way. When God looks at you, he sees you from an eternal perspective. He sees you not only tomorrow, next year, but listen, when God leads and guides us, it's from the view of all eternity for our lives. And so a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. He orders our steps. And those steps lead on to eternity. And so our failure to seek and our failure to trust in the one who does not change, listen, is foolish. And the root of that is the sin of idolatry. It is simply substituting God. We are substituting probability for certainty. We're basing our life on what is probable rather than seeking God who does not change. A God who does not lie. A God, listen, who is always there. He's always. He's eternal. And so, as you and I, we face days, we know that changes will come. And listen, if we have been foolish and those days of great change come, are we going to be left without hope? I've seen many people, because of some of the great changes in a day's time, it left them with absolutely nothing. 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 I remember we living in Florida. We were horrified to read the morning paper. The first news was, is up the road from us, a fellow had come into a financial institution and he'd kill everybody in there. Kill everybody in there. And the story unfolded. You know why? Because in one day he lost everything he had monetarily. And they had advised him or counseled him on how to invest the money, and they lost it all. He went in there and killed them all. That what happened to him that one day left him clearly without hope. And so he went in and took his life, took all the lives, all the rest of them. You see, it's foolish. It's foolish to put all your eggs in one basket. It's foolish to put it all on the area of probability. And think about, well, this is probably what's going to happen. And then be totally vested in probability. Then certainly you can be left without hope. But listen, those of us who have trusted in God can never be left without hope. Why? Because of the certainty that God has given. And so, we do not boast in what tomorrow may bring. We boast in the Lord, who's in all our tomorrows. And the Lord holds all our tomorrows, as we often sing. Romans tells us in 4:21, and being fully persuaded that which he hath promised, he was able also to perform. I'm fully persuaded, I'm convinced, everything God has promised us, he'll bring to pass. That's a certainty. That's not foolish to trust that completely. That's wise. That's wise. That's a wisdom principle. The Bible says, Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I know no matter what comes on any day, I can depend upon the fact that God loves me. That is an absolute certainty. He loves me. That is a certainty. It's not a probability. It's a certainty. The Bible tells us, listen, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Listen, I know I have eternal life. I know, listen, that I will live in glory. I know that I have a home in heaven. I know I have a citizenship there. That is a no-so salvation. God wrote to you and gave you a foundation for a no-soul salvation. It's not a guess, maybe, hope I've been good enough, whatever. I'm working my way, trying to pray my way through it. I'm trying to earn it. I'm trying to do the best I can to make sure. No, God gave you a foundation to know for sure. Listen, God wants you to be a testimony to others. Listen, that the way of salvation is in Christ and that He gives eternal life. And the only way you'll be any kind of testimony at all is when you know it with all your heart that you are saved, ready for heaven, and these things are written to you, that you might know that you have eternal life. K-N-O-W. Not guess, not wonder. If it's based on you, you never have a certainty. You need to put your faith in Christ, not in yourself. Too many people put faith in themselves, and so I'm trying to pray for it to be good enough. I'm trying to earn my way. Listen, you have faith in yourself, and that's a sin. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to heaven is because of Him. That's it. And the blood He shed for you at Calvary. He washed your sins away when you trust Him. That's the only way. God wants you to have a no-so salvation. Our life is transformed by trusting in Christ because I took it from uncertainties. I took it from probabilities. And I built my life. I put my soul. I put everything in trusting Him. That is a certainty. That is a certainty. Now, our life is transformed by the hope of eternal life. Well, the Bible says, according to the eternal promise, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, listen, as you and I stop to consider, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That is, take a grasp on the fact that you have it. And that will enable you to fight the good fight. Why? Because, listen, the best thing they can do to me is send me to heaven. That's all they do. That's it. Listen, they hate me. And listen, they're going to try to slander me, mock me. Listen, we come down to the worst, when they finally had enough of you, all they can do is just send you to heaven. That's it. I told you many times the story of John Rice when he led the man to Christ walking the street of Chicago. He was walking back to the hotel. They advised him not to do it because it's a bad area. But he went on anyway and said, I'm not afraid. And he went back, and sure enough, the man held him up, put a gun in his face. He said, young fellow, you'd have to know him. He said, young fellow, he always looked over, he preached like that. And he moved his head like his own. And he said, young fellow, he said, you pull that trigger. He said, you're sending me to be with Jesus in heaven. He said, I'm ready to go. And he said, that's the worst you can do. He said, I'll make a deal with you. He said, set the gun down on the sidewalk. Sit by me here on the sidewalk. And let me show some things in the scripture. And when I'm done, whatever money's in my wallet, I'll just give it to you. How about that? He said, that's the deal. They sat on the sidewalks, middle of the night, Chicago. And listen, he led the man to Christ. And the man just squalled. God forgave him all his sins. And he started to walk away, rejoicing. Thy right said, come back here. Thy keep my end of the deal. And he said, no, I can't take that. He said, you ain't robbing it, I'm giving it. I told you I'd give it to you. And gave him the money. Listen, he was able to fight a good fight. You know why? Because, listen, you pull the trigger, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm just going on to heaven. I'm going to be with Him. That's the worst you can do. He said, lay hold of the fact. Listen, what freedom you have when you understand you have eternal life. What freedom you have. There's one thing I do agree that Martin Luther King said, and he said, no man's fit to live until he's found the cause for which he's willing to die. That was a true statement. Because now that I've found Christ, and now the cause of Christ is mine, listen, then it makes your life worth living. Because you're not living it for yourself, you're living it for Him. And it makes your life worth living. When you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that the Bible says that we are not to put ourselves, our hope, our trust, our future in things uncertain. God is the only thing trustworthy. He is the only thing secure, only thing dependable. To cast our life, our hopes, our futures upon anything else is foolishness. It is presumption. It is sin. The Bible said, Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Well, I don't want to stop tonight, but that was the introduction. All right. Now, let me give you the two main areas of focus here in this wisdom principle. First of all, when we think about boasting ourselves for tomorrow, it focuses on two main things. Number one, upon things which we depend. On things which we depend. This is what this wisdom principle is. That as we look forward to our future and tomorrow, there are things we depend on. Now listen, If you have depended upon the certainty of your tomorrows, you sooner or later are going to be sadly disappointed. And so we are called to apply wisdom now in things I depend upon to make sure that they are certain. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The Bible said there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. You and I know that the grass withered and the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so, listen, we, as we depend upon our life, what we depend upon must be a certainty, and so therefore we have anchored ourselves in trusting the Lord our God. So the Bible reminds us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said in Psalm 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. And so, as you and I think about this, listen, I look forward to tomorrow's, but I want to be wise, not foolish. I know that things can change and change quickly. I know that our life can be turned upside down. And if that happens, I want to be ready. Much as possible, I want to be ready. I don't want to be stricken to the point where I find myself completely disillusioned without knowing where to find hope and where to find help. And so, as we make our plans, the first and foremost of my plans, listen, is to consider the Lord. And you know what that does? That motivates me. When I think about the future and I think about tomorrows and I think about things that will change, there are things I don't want to change, but things that will change whether I want them or not. Then that leads me and motivates me to worship my God and my Savior. It motivates me to worship Him. You know why? Because I'm going to need Him. I needed Him today. You know what? I'm going to need Him tomorrow. And you know what? I'm going to need Him every day, but there are also certain days when I am going to need Him more than I've ever needed Him. Right? And so, you know what? I want to maintain a right relationship with Him today. Amen? If I have a right relationship with Him today, isn't that the best made plans for my tomorrow? Isn't it? That's the best thing I can do for whatever comes tomorrow, is to make sure I walk with Jesus today. There's no better plans than that. That's the top of the list. Now, there are practical things we can do in life, and it's certainly our duty to do those. But on top of the list for the believer is his relationship with God. That's got to be number one. Got to be number one. So it motivates me to worship Him, motivates me to pray, motivates me to seek His face, motivates me to want to serve Him and live for Him. That is the greatest thing I can do for all my tomorrows, whether it's what a day positive or what a day negative. The best plan I can make, listen, is to seek His face, worship Him, make sure that things are right between me and God, spend some time with Him, pray, seeking His face. Why? Because God already knows today what tomorrow will bring. I believe that if I fellowship with Him today, He'll prepare me for that. Right? He'll prepare me for that. He'll give me some things. I realize many times, God has given me things, and then when something happened the day after that, the following day, or something that week, God had already given me some spiritual food to help me as I faced it. Now, if I hadn't a fellowship with Him, I wouldn't have had that. I don't want to meet tomorrow and whatever it brings, emptiness, a spiritual void, a coldness in my heart. I don't want that. You know what? When I face the possibilities of tomorrow, I want the fullness of God with me. Amen? I want the fullness of God with me. I want to have been in His presence. I want to have prayed. I want to have read His Word. I want to have sought Him. Listen, that is a principle of wisdom. And it's number one in your plans and all that you do to try to secure your life and try to look forward to tomorrow's whatever they bring, the best thing I can do. And so, number one, listen, this focus, this verse focuses, this principle of wisdom, on things that we depend. Secondly, it focuses on upon our delays. Our delays. And by that I simply mean this, that there are things I should have done today because of what tomorrow may bring. Our delays. Jeremiah 8:20 said this, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Many people went through the prime seasons where the Spirit of God moved on their heart, and they didn't come to Christ. And listen, they passed up a powerful opportunity when the conditions were such that the Spirit of God was moving in a great way. The gospel became clear. Listen, but they continued to resist until the point in which, listen, they no longer felt that same convicting power, the Spirit of God compelling them. So what does the Bible tell us in that famous passage? Listen, that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. Right now. Why? Tomorrow is uncertain. The possibility of being saved tomorrow is uncertain. I think someone mentioned to me not long ago, I think it was Brother Dwight mentioned to me a couple weeks ago about when Moody was preaching as a young preacher up in Chicago. And he was preaching a great meeting there, and as he's preaching that meeting, he realized he was going to have to change it into a two-part message. He wasn't going to be able to finish. And so he sent that crowd out that night without having given them a real invitation to Christ. You know what that night was? It was the night of the great Chicago fire. He fell on his face before God and said, God, you're my helper. I'll never close the message out ever again my whole life without giving an invitation people get saved. I'll never do that again. I wonder how many people were actually there and went out into eternity. You see, there is no guarantee. People take it presumptuously and do not realize that we get saved because the Holy Ghost begins the process of drawing us. We didn't get saved because, well, you know what? You know, I think I'm going to do that on Thursday. You got saved because the Holy Ghost grabbed hold of your heart and made you realize, listen, by deep conviction that God's talking to you and, listen, that you need to get saved. We just don't get to pick and choose it. It's when God deals with our heart. The saddest thing I ever heard in my life, I've told you, when a man looked at me face to face when I was in Alabama, he said, preacher, pray for me, pray for me. He said, I'm in desperate straits. I said, what in the world? He said, I no longer feel any conviction. He said, I no longer feel God ever calling me. He said, I spent years resisting him, years turning him away. He said, preacher, I don't feel a thing. He said, I don't feel a thing. He said, I'm just cold and dead. That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Cold and dead. The Bible says in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with a man. There comes a point when God does close the door of opportunity. And so, listen, our delays. Hugh Pyle, a great preacher from the past, preached that message, never forgot it. Published in the Sword of the Lord back 40 years ago. It was entitled, One More Night with the Frogs. And it went back to the story of the plagues when Moses went to Pharaoh. And you know what Moses said? Moses said to Pharaoh, listen, you want me to get rid of these frogs? The crazy man said, tomorrow. If I had frogs in the bathroom, frogs in the stove, frogs in the refrigerator, frogs in my bed, frogs in my shower, I wouldn't have said tomorrow. I'd have said today. What a great application. Many people know that God will save them from their sorry mess, their sorry lives, and they say, well, maybe another time, another night with the frogs, another night with sin and all of its pestilence that it brings upon a person's life. And they say, maybe a more convenient time or another day, another night with the frogs. Listen, as we consider the principle here of wisdom, that there are things that need to be done today, not tomorrow. Jesus said this in the morning, if it be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And there are many people, listen, who understand these things but are simply blind to them. The Bible says, Hebrews 3:13, but we exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:15, while it is today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts in the day of provocation. No, there are things, listen, need to be done today. Listen, when our souls are in jeopardy, now is the time, today. We do not risk the loss of our soul for eternity and put it off for the possibility of another day when today is a certainty that God would save us if we would come to Him. Certainly when our sin has been discovered, the Holy Ghost put a finger upon something wrong in our life. Listen, we do not wait till tomorrow. But when the Holy Spirit comes and addresses something wrong in my life, something that hinders my fellowship, my relationship with God, then I am to deal with it today. Not tomorrow, but today. When you and I realize and discover that our hearts have become cold and callous, today is the day in which we seek the Lord and seek the fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. And when we ask God to come and move in our hearts and refreshing our souls and bring us back to sweet fellowship and stir up the love that's in our heart. We do those things today, not tomorrow. Today. Listen, when we understand that we have ought and transgression against our brother, we are to seek that reconciliation and do it today. Jesus even taught in Matthew chapter 6, though great truth about putting first things first. He said, when you come to the altar and bring your gift to the Lord, He said, you leave it here and go back and take care of the ought you have with your brother and then come back and bring the gift. That is to be done today. And if something wrong, if you've wronged someone, you know it, then take care of it today, not tomorrow. Because tomorrow is a probability. It's not a certainty, but you can do it now. You can do it now. Listen, when our opportunities, listen, may pass, then today is the day that we proceed through that door. When we are out of the will of God, today is the day we make that correction, not our tomorrows. Many times we have used that statement of consolation. Well, I'll get around to it tomorrow. Listen, there are things that should be done today. And we are wise if we do them because there are things very important. And things that are very important, things that are vitally important, should not be cast over to probability, but should be dealt with certainty. Because today, it can be done and should be done. And so the Bible gives us here this principle that we're boast not of tomorrow, for it's veiled with uncertainties. That word boast means clarity or shining. The only thing that's clear is today. Everything else is veiled, and we are not certain of what a day may bring. Tomorrow's hopes are rooted in the one thing certain, and that is the Lord our God. That is something we are certain of. And so, you want to be a wise person? Listen, the things you depend, we are to look to that which is certain. Be a wise person, things that we have delayed, we are not to put them over to the area of probabilities. We are to deal with them in things that are certain. And today I can. Tomorrow, I may not be able to. And so, these principles of wisdom will bless our life and keep us from being foolishly presumptuous and putting off things precious, valuable, important, and cast them over to a probability when they could have been a certainty. That's the principle God gives us.